So just for starters, we got the mission. Let's start taking the mission again. So it says Levato is mission samachal from the base. Yeah. Okay. So the mission says like this: Levatel adam imperiv revya alim ken yesh labana. So a person shouldn't be a levatel peravu unless he has children. Bishamay omrim shnei zacharim. Bishil omrim zacharim kedem. It's okay, sure. So it's Bishamay says two zacharim. Bishil says zacharim kedem. Shneimar zacharim kedem bram. So because it says God created them zacharim kedem, male and female. So therefore, that's what he holds. That's what the Beis Hillel holds. That somehow we learn out from the way God created them that that's how you should have prova. Okay, that's what you should be outside. So the Mishnah explains a little bit about Beis Hillel's reason. It doesn't really explain Beis Shammai's reason at all. Okay. So the Gemara says Beis Shammai Shnei Zochar. My time at Beis Shammai Yelfinon Mi Moshe. Siv Benei Gershon Benei Moshe Gershon Eliezer. So what does Rashi say? Avalo zachar unikema. If he Moshe Jekim Shalhi Lashne Ban and Pirishman Isha, so it says, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu was separated from his wife once he had two sons. So apparently that's enough. And Beis Hillel, Yafim Bris HaShalom. Beis Hillel says, no, you learn from Bris HaOlam. Bris HaOlam, you see this too? Okay, and Beis Shammai, Yafim Bris HaShalom. And then Avshar, Mishi Avshar, he says, Bris HaOlam, you didn't have a choice. There's no other way to create a world without creating zachar unikema. But who's to say that that's the way our mitzvah, we could build a world if we don't zachar nekeva. We could just have sons, and the sons, look, they're going to be daughters. So therefore, the mitzvah is just, you can't learn out from there. So therefore, he says, look, you have two zacharim, and there will be a lot of nekevas out there. So it'll be fine, the world will be okay. But you can't say that God created the world, that plan wouldn't have worked. Okay. Okay. Moshe did it on his own accord. Okay. So let's see this thing about let's just read that part where it says Moshe did. We didn't actually look at it inside. So let's just look at it. So Rashi says midaitim shem shchina. Also the shark of the masses came. So Moshe Rabbeinu did it separated because of the shchina, but no one else could do that. So what is the Rashi say? The Tanya shosha dvarim asa Moshe midaito. So Moshe Rabbeinu did three things on his own accord, and God basically agreed them. He intuited God, I guess, the dasamakam. One is pirush min ha'isha. He separated from his wife. V'shibar ha'luchos. He broke the luchos. V'osuf yom echad. And he added an additional day to, I think, from Matan Torah. Oh, no, additional day to separate from their wives. Okay, but let's leave that alone for now. Okay, so it says, what's his pirush min ha'isha? My darash. What was Moshe Rabbeinu dorash to separate from his wife? It says, Amar. He said the following. Uma Yisrael shlo dibro imam shechina elefi sha'a. The shechina only spoke to Klal Yisrael momentarily, just for Har Sinai. V'kava lahem zman. And he fixed a specific time that the shechina would appear to them. Amra Torah, al tikshol l'isha. Still the Torah says, you have to not approach your wife. Separate from your wife for a few days. Ani, Moshe reasons, I, shemi yuchad l'dibor v'chol shavasha, that he's set aside for dibor, for God to speak to him at any moment. V'lo kavali zman, and there's no fixed time. Allah has kama kama. Certainly, I should separate from my wife. Permanently. V'eskim adai tol dasamakom, and it's true, he was right, shenemar, Leich amar lahem, shuv alachem la'alechem. God told Moshe, you tell them to go back to their tents, which means to their wives. Ve'ata, but you, po amodi modi, you stay with me, which means you don't go back to your wife. So there's a contrast. So you see, God agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. But you see, Moshe Rabbeinu's decision was on his own, and it was based upon the need to be able to talk to God. So he's a unique individual in a unique situation, and a person can't learn from that. So I'll tell you, really, this is Beis Hillel argues, I'll tell you, really, he wasn't Yotzei Peravu, you need a son and a daughter. Moshe Rabbeinu severed from his wife without that, when he only had two sons. Look, that's a different story. You can't learn from that. And we're not going to say, therefore, that proves that it's you need two boys. You can't prove anything from Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. Fine. Okay, so that's basically the machlokas. Okay, so basically we have this machlokas. Okay, we have this machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, like I think Shmuel mentioned yesterday, is a good point. Beis Hillel, we kind of have a reason, sort of. So the way it happened at Bris Olam, somehow we want to do it like that. But Beis Shammai, what's the reason? Is the reason because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did, or is that just the proof? It doesn't seem to be that like I'm supposed to do what Moshe did. Why am I supposed to do Moshe Rabbeinu did? Seems to be to prove that that's enough. But what's the reason?
Yeah,
what's the
like,
svara?
Because Moshe's like, he's like the leader.
Yeah, right. He's the leader. He's the model. It must be that's good. But what's the idea of having two sons? It doesn't tell us. What's the idea that that's the structure of the mitzvah? At least in Beis Hillel, that's the structure somehow. I mean, you have to fill in the blank a little bit, but Zachar and Akeva, that's what creation was. Somehow you're doing like that. But it doesn't. It seems legitimate to say that the mitzvah is somehow to do what God created, how creation was. It doesn't really seem to say the mitzvah, do what Moshe did. Do what Moshe did. First of all, the mitzvah was given before, I guess it was around that time, right? But whatever, it's just hard to understand. What's the sense of the mitzvah? And what's the, so the whole machlokas is hard to understand. So the question is, could we get any insight into, you know, the two svaras for the two positions for this machlokas? What's the ideas behind each of the positions in determining how many kids you have to have? Questions on the Beis Shammai. First of all, what's the derivation of Moshe? That seems like a weak derivation. Second of all, what's the, yeah, like Yaakov says, what is two accomplish altogether? What's the sense of two? Like, was there a svar for that? It's fine to derive Moshe, but what's the idea of that? Right? Somehow, like, one of each sounds like there's a sense to that. Right? Although we should explain it a little better, but it seems at least reasonable. Start. So Yaakov says, listen, the way you want to have Peruvo, well, it's the basic minimum that the Torah is setting up. So you say, well, there are these two types of people in the world. God, B'riyas HaShalom, there are two kinds of people. There's man and there's woman. Man is the active part of the, however you want to, whatever, there's two people, man and woman. So the mitzvah is to basically create both types of the Bria. Because you have to continue the Bria. And the way God made the Bria was through creating Adam and Chava, through creating man and woman. And mitzvah for you is to similarly create both, as the species continues through males and females, right? Because they're only one or the other, you don't have a species, right? That's why God made them both. That's the way He created the world. That's the way the world continues, is through both types. So the mitzvah is for you to create, to bring about both types, both components of which are necessary for Kiyum HaOlam, right? And once you have that, so look, you could have more kids, whatever, but that's the basic mitzvah. One day you could say that you've really qualitatively contributed to the full gamut of human existence and the components which God has set up for Kiyum HaOlam. Right, that sounds reasonable. Okay, good. So now let's try to turn to Beis Shammai, right? That's the harder side. Them. There's two questions in Beis Shammai also. One question is why are boys better than girls? Why only, you know, why not two girls? Why two boys? What's the superiority of boys over girls? And then fine, given that you want to say boys, it's important in this mitzvah is boy, not girl, so maybe it should be one boy. Beis Hillel had only one boy. What's the deal with two boys? Where does two come from? Maybe three boys, maybe eight, right? And there's the two in Beis Hillel was just because there are two types. So he didn't really have the number two. But Beis Shammai has the number two. Where does the number two come from? So that's a good realization. I think that's a good approach. Is that the sons, the idea is like this, is that the mitzvah is Peru Uruvu, Meluas Aretz, right? Now, I'm not sure what Peru means. Be fruitful. Whatever that means. That's a funny word. Right? And multiply. So I know what multiply means. Right? And maybe prove whatever. But multiply means the idea is Meluas Aretz, is the mitzvah is to grow the world. That is the basic idea of the mitzvah. Right? And the mitzvah is on men. Men are the ones who are Kivshua, who go and conquer the world and grow the world, and they're mitzvah to have kids. A woman is mitzvah to have kids. So you can have a daughter, she's not going to have a kid, and she'll just decide not to have kids. The mitzvah is for you to grow the world. And the way which God set up, this is Beis Shammai's argument, is to grow the world, is that every man must produce two men. And then so on and so forth. And therefore, you have a much bigger world. And each man is mitzvah to produce two new men. And so on and so forth. So if a man has one son, so then basically next generation, you have the same amount of men. Right? And then one son, you have the same amount of men. Everyone stops at one son, then you're just going to keep having in theory, you're not going to necessarily increase the population. But it says, you know, here, by having two, you're going to increase it. And look, daughters, Dr. Chase point, look, daughters, that's what Rashi says, look, you'll find daughters. Along the way, having your sons, you're going to have daughters. It's just, that's the way it works. So, but you have to make sure every given person is mitzuva to be involved in increasing the world population. The way you do that is by you, one man, make two men. And that's the mitzvah, to increase the population. And increase comes from having two sons. You're one son, you're one male, and you produce two. So they say the word multiply implies that. Multiply means you have one and become two. And sons, because it's the mitzvah is on you. So take it as a given. Like, the mitzvah is on you. Men are the ones who are going out and doing this mitzvah, who are obligated to do this mitzvah, who have to go out in the world, conquer, build families. Women aren't obligated to do that. So the mitzvah is on each man to multiply. That means to go from one to two, having one son and one daughter. You don't do that. You're not multiplying. You're keeping the world static, steady. So that's what he holds the mitzvah, to multiply. The way he multiplies, you have two sons. Sounds good, no? So what does Beis Hillel say back? What's Beis Hillel's argument? Could we kind of, you know? Okay, good. So Yonah says like this, is that growing the world, besides for the quantitative element in it, there's like a qualitative element, which is that growth of the world demands male and female. That's the way the world is built, is through males and females. So reproduction takes place. So he's saying is that the way the Torah constructed the mitzvah that you have to be involved in building the world is by producing the basic units of reproduction, of building the world, like Bris Olam, you learn Bris Olam. So the question is the mitzvah to build a world, so to speak, on a quantitative level through multiplication, or is it through producing the qualitative unit through which Bris Olam takes place, through Binyan Olam takes place, which is Zachar Nekeva. Right? Like, they're both holding, like, you don't have to go on it forever. You have a million kids, but there's a basic quality in which you could say, I stopped. I did blank. So is that quality which starts demanding multiplication, which you could call the quantity, or is it creating the qualitative unit of Zachar Nekeva, which is that vehicle through which the world is built? Tion Beis Shammai is multiplication. You see, the way the mitzvah is that your men are the ones who are mitzvah on the mitzvah. And the way you multiply the world is that you create two multipliers, two men who are going to multiply. And the men are the ones who have the mitzvah. So they're the ones who are, like what you said, they're the ones conquering the world, growing the world, building the world. And each person, each man, is the way you multiply the world is that you double. You make yourself are one, and you make two. And then those two are going to make two, and those two are mitzvah to make two. And I think it's to say mainly because of the mitzvah. I mean, because they're the kovshim, but then they're the ones who are mitzvah in the mitzvah. So the way the mitzvah works is that each person, each man, is mitzvah to multiply. You have two daughters, you're not multiplying, because you don't have any further sons, and the sons are the ones who are building the world. Or even to have one-on-one, but that's not multiplying. The multiplying is taking those gavras who are the builders of the world, and you're one of them, and you're making two of them. Now let's go to that, see if we can talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So now on the basic level, let's say, this is what we said we were going to do, is to say that Beis Shammai is proving from Moshe Rabbeinu what the mitzvah is. Because if the mitzvah were, like Beis Hillel is claiming, to produce the qualitative unit of building the world, Zachar Nekeva, so you tell me Moshe Rabbeinu, as Yaakov said, he's the leader, he didn't do the mitzvah. So it must be, apparently, he was pushed from Aisha. Apparently the mitzvah is just multiplying. Apparently the mitzvah is just multiplying. It's a deduction. It's saying it must be. And then Beis Hillel says back to him, well, hold on a second. You can't learn from him because he was pushed from Daite. He was a special unique exception, so it's not appropriate to learn from him because he's an exception. So therefore, there goes your proof. Right? So what do we sense? And I guess you also have the other way. But still learns Bria Sa'olam. Beis Shammai says, come on, you can't learn Bria Sa'olam. It's true. That's the units which create the world. To get it started, you need that unit. But after that point, you don't need that unit. You can just multiply, and then it will work itself out. But let's talk about the Moshe Rabbeinu point. So what's the question? Is Moshe Rabbeinu a good Raya or not? Because it would seem if you hold he's a good Raya, then look, you have two theories. You don't really know. How do you resolve between the two? Even that's the point. You don't really have a great way to resolve between these two theories. There's two different theories. So he says, let's look at Moshe Rabbeinu as a Raya. So what the question is, I guess, could we go further in trying to figure out? I mean, it sounds like Beis Hillel's point is good. You can't learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. How's Beis Shammai going to say, but what's going to respond to that? I mean, It's clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu, unless he just rejects that whole story, but I mean, it seems to be Moshe Rabbeinu had to stop because it was necessary for him to receive Nevuah, Klal Yisrael, all that stuff. So what, does he hold that he couldn't, like, well, why don't I open up to you? So what do you think about that? Okay. So Yonah's saying, I have two ideas here. One, Yonah's trying to say, maybe he's good, is that the question is, it would be nice to go further, but who knows how. But the question is do you say Moshe Rabbeinu's thing, his svara there, is a right to Mimatal Mitzvah say, Deoraisa? It's very nice Moshe Rabbeinu wants to talk to the Shekhinah, and it's very important, and all that stuff. But who's to say that allows you to Mimatal Tariq Mitzvahs? I don't know if they say anywhere in the Chal Shabbos for some purpose or for whatever. So it's true, the Shekhinah is important and all that, but that's like a different type of importance. Is that does that give him a right to be Mevatel Mitzvah and Taryag? So it could be Beis Shammai says, no, it doesn't. And if since it doesn't, so how did he do it? So it must be the Mitzvah's two boys. It must be his Yotzei. Whereas Beis Hillel holds that no, that this type of thing, Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, talking to God, that's more trumps Taryag Mitzvahs. And therefore, you can't prove anything from Moshe Rabbeinu did. That's a unique exception, which is for Moshe Rabbeinu.
How's Beis Shammai backing that up?
It's a funny question. I mean, it's possible. You could say that's far. It would be nice if you go further. I'm not so sure. I don't love it, but you could say that. It's possible. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. I was thinking something else. Really, in theory, look, if those push aside. And that's Vishal Vesel's point, is how can you learn from Moshe Rabbeinu? Because after all, look, it's not just he wanted to talk to the Shekhinah. I mean, the whole Torah is based upon the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu learned the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and taught us the Torah. So you can't have a Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu and his role as the Navi and Pal Pal Davarva and all that. I mean, it's no small thing. That's the whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the foundation of the whole Torah. So you could argue, is of course, that's going to be Docha Provo. But it could be that Beis Shammai's argument is that, listen, Moshe, it's Torah, it's identified as Torah's Moshe. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu is like our ultimate teacher, our ultimate Rebbe. He's like the model Jew, so to speak, right? And you said something like this earlier, is that to have, like, it would be wrong for the Torah Shebichsav, like for the Torah to depict Moshe Rabbeinu as not being Yotze Provo. He did. So, I don't know. Could have covered it up. Didn't have to say openly. Could have left it some sort of vague way. Like, here it's like, in fact, this is interesting. It says, where is that? Yeah, it's interesting. It says, "My time at the Beis Shammai, the Gemara, Yalfina mi Moshe, the Chsiv, B'nei Moshe, Gershon Eliezer." It's like, look, the Torah says openly, look, the Torah doesn't have to be Miachis Moshe. Why don't you leave it vague? How many kids Moshe had? Maybe he had a daughter, maybe he had a son. Like, the Torah shouldn't do it. Beis Shammai held that if it were the case, that in fact Moshe Rabbeinu were pushing aside this mitzvah Puravo, and here Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Anshel Yisrael, is not Yotze Puravo, then the Torah should have hit it, should have disguised it. The fact that the Torah explicitly tells us this is what he had, Moshe Gershon Alazar, and separate from his wife, he says it must be that he's Yotze Puravo. And as he holds, the Torah shouldn't depict it as if it's in a way which is clear, even if he had a right to do it, but don't, he holds that it would be like wrong for Torah Shebich Sav to make that open, because he's supposed to be the leader we all look up to and model our lives after. He's our leader. If all of a sudden Torah is 100% and the mitzvahs are not batal, and now all of a sudden, and within the very Torah itself, it says Moshe Rabbeinu pushed aside a mitzvah once. Beis Shammai says, so how did the Torah openly reveal that Moshe Rabbeinu only had two sons? It must be that's the mitzvah, to have two sons. So that's how Beis Shammai supports his svar. As he says, he supports his formulation, is that it must be, if the Torah was so open with disclosing to us that Moshe Rabbeinu had only two sons, and then he had divorced his wife, it must be that that's the mitzvah. And that's sufficient for the mitzvah, and therefore he supports his svara. The mitzvah is to multiply, and you don't have to have a daughter. You know what I mean? He supports svara, whereas Beis Hillel doesn't hold that. I'm not sure what he says to that, but he says, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu is an exception, and it's true, he's Rabban Shekel Yisrael and all that, but bottom line is like it's understandable that he's talking to the Shekhinah, and he's different, and no one's going to learn anything about the unimportance of the mitzvahs, because, I don't know, something like that, some machlokas within that. Is it That's basically, look, Beis Shammai is straight up. He just says, look, you can learn it from Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sorry, Beis Hillel's argument is, no, is you can't learn from Moshe. You can't learn. Balman is, it's an exception. But Beis Shammai's chiddush is that you could learn from it because he holds, he's positing. I'm saying Beis Shammai's one who's positing the Torah wouldn't do such a thing. Even if it was an exception, the Torah wouldn't write it. Yaakov has a good question. Ah, you see Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and that was a chait. So that's also important. That's an interesting thing. Important part of the Torah is that the Torah does not hold, that we don't hold by the idea of a saint or of like a perfect person. There's no such thing. It's a pasuk. There's no such thing as a perfect, deifying man. Man is perfect. Everyone could sin. That's for sure. So like Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, fine. That's part of the Torah. Part of the Torah is that human beings are bound to sin and do tshuva, and look, that's definitely the case. The Torah doesn't hide that. It doesn't hide sin. But this is not a sin. This is the Torah is like endorsing Moshe Rabbeinu separating from his wife. In fact, Aaron and Miriam criticized him, and the Torah defended Moshe Rabbeinu openly. So this is setting it up as an ideal. So the Torah could reveal that a great person sins, criticize a great person, and then it's a lesson. We see that even great people sin, and every person has to do tshuva, and every person's fallible, and that's great. That's something the Torah would never hide. That's a foundation of the Torah. But this is something where Moshe Rabbeinu is in the right, and he's pushing aside a mitzvah, so because he is a unique, exceptional circumstance, and everyone else should not learn from him, even though this is really, he did correct, to put that in the Torah, it could be the Beis Shammai saying that would not be right. That would not be right, because it's not wrong that he did the right thing, but he is a unique exception. So what do you have to tell me about Moshe Rabbeinu's unique, exceptional types of things that he did in his own private life? And like, let's say there was a Rav who held that. Let's say there's, for example, let's say he held the Rav, there's a big Rav, Gadol Yisrael, that has to eat on Yom Kippur, because he is sick. He has diabetes, and he has to eat on Yom Kippur. You just don't say that. You don't make a public speaker announcement that the Gadol Dar is eating on Yom Kippur. He's allowed to, and it's a kind of thing that there's no reason to publicize that kind of thing. It affects people. Everything affects people. I'm doing it in private. There's no mitzvah to publicize that he's going and doing that. So he has to, and he's right, and he should do it. It still doesn't mean that you have to publicize these things.
You could say that that was also...
One thing that's interesting is, like, how do you know Moshe didn't have any daughters? Because it says, B'nai Moshe Gershon Elazar. It doesn't say daughters. How many daughters did Aaron have? How many daughters did anyone have? Do we know how many daughters? Torah doesn't record daughters. Almost never, right? So it's altogether interesting. Is how do you know? How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't also have a daughter?
The term B'nai Yisrael, it does include the...
Daughters, right. I know it says B'nai Moshe Gershon Elazar. Okay, fine. Those were his sons. Maybe you have any daughters? I don't know. Also, maybe yes, maybe no.
Interesting.
Who says in question is, first of all, the Pasuk's quoting, the Gemara's quoting a Pasuk from Devar Yamim, Aleph, Chav Gimel Tes Vav. So I don't know why it just doesn't quote the Pasuk in the Torah, where it says, well, the only thing is you could say that in the Torah, that's just at that point he had Gershon Elazar. Maybe before he died, he had more kids. Maybe it never says by the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, those were his children. So how do you know after he died? You want to find maybe something after he died which says those were his children. Because you could always tell, he had further kids later. He separated from his wife, but then later he got back together or something. You could argue that. You could say the Rayam is a better Raya because it's afterwards. Maybe. But, first of all, my question is, look, maybe he had daughters. It just says B'nai Moshe Gershom Eliezer. It doesn't say he did or didn't have any daughters. And the Pasuk in the Rayam, it's not listing anyone's daughters. It's just listing sons. In general, the Torah doesn't list, the Navi doesn't list the daughters unless there's a particular reason to mention a particular daughter. But usually it doesn't. So I'd even prove from there altogether. And it does weaken the thing a little bit, what I'm saying, if it's a Pasuk in the Rayam and not a Pasuk in Torah. I don't know. You could say, look, the Navi shouldn't write that either. The Navi shouldn't write that either. I guess it doesn't really matter. But I don't know. It's altogether, that's a bothersome question altogether. Who's to say you didn't have any daughters? How do you know? The Torah has to go out of its way to tell you he had daughters? Maybe he had a daughter. He had Eliezer, he had Gershon. Maybe in the meantime he had a daughter. Maybe there's it does, but it doesn't say he didn't have daughters. Maybe when Gershon was born, there was a twin together with Gershon.
Why
twin daughter.
Because
it never says people had daughters. In general, the Torah doesn't tell you about daughters. The yichus of people go by their sons, and who had daughters? I mean, if you had the Torah, you'd think there were only men born, no daughters. How many girls are talked about that they're born in the Torah? Not very many. So, it doesn't. So who's to say? Well, how many daughters did Aaron have? I don't know. How many daughters does Miriam have? Who knows? I don't know. How many daughters a lot of people have? It just doesn't. The yichus goes from son to father, son to father to son. And who's to say altogether they didn't have any daughters? I don't know. Okay, look, I think this is what I think is, this is a hard type of question, is whether the raya, if you learn, the way we're learning is that the Moshe Rabbeinu is the raya. Whether it's a good raya or not is a different type of question. You know, you maybe say what Yonah was saying, maybe say what I was saying. And the main thing, the way we're learning is that the halachic definition of the machlokas is the first point. Is how do you build a world? What's the structure of the mitzvah to build the world? Is it to multiply, which is to have two sons? Or is it to create the two basic units of the building the world, which is son and daughter? The rest of it is a matter of which one's a good raya. Do you learn from here? Do you learn from there? I don't know. I don't really have anything that solid about that. You know, I'm just kind of, you know, talking out some thoughts. But, you know, it's harder. It's a harder kind of thing to do. To define what the mitzvah is a lot easier. It's a lot more grounded than to figure out whether it's appropriate to learn from here. That's like a judgment call, which I don't really feel like we're at the bottom of that. But I'd like to move on from it, anyways. It's a hard type of problem. I don't feel like we're going to get such solid ideas in that approach. So what I'd like to do next is there's two more shitos. You'll see further in the Gemara after this whole story of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's two more positions. There's another position, another brisa that has Beis Shammai holding. You need two males and two zachars, two nekevos. There's another position is Beis Shammai doesn't say two men. He rather holds two and two. Beis Hillel says a man and a female. Beis Shammai says two males and two females. Learned out from Adam Arishon, because he had twins with Hevel, Cain, and Hevel. Each had twins with them, so therefore it's two and two, so that's how many you need. Okay, you look at the Gemara. I'm leaving out a little bit of it, but that's, you know. And then there's one more position, which is Beis Hillel argues that you need, either or. Because Lo Sovara, Lo Shevas Yitzara, the world is created to populate, and look, once you populate it, once you have one kid, it's enough. So what I'd like to do is to define, you know, in a similar manner, the structure of the mitzvah according to each of those two new positions. You know?
That's even hard to.
Yeah, a lot of positions here. Okay, so let's shoot for Monday, I guess, to do that. Right. Okay?
Where does it start?
It starts on, it's on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. It's Tanya. It's about halfway down the page, the beginning of the line, Tanya. Rabbi Nosson Omer, until Itmar, until the last skinny line.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.